One.
Narayanam namaskritianam cheva narottamam devim sarasvatim vyasam tato jayam udirayat. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
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 Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 11, Chapter 8, Chapter entitled The Story of Pingala. Text number 42.
Atmaiva hyatmano gopta.
Atmaiva hyatmano gopta.
Nirvijeta yada kila.
Nirvijeta yada kila.
Apramata idam pashyed.
Apramata idam pashyed.
Grastam kalahina jagat.
Grastam kalahina jagat.
Atma,
Atma,
the soul,
the soul.
Eva,
Eva,
alone,
alone.
He, certainly,
certainly.
Atmana,
Atmana,
of himself,
of himself.
Gopta,
Gopta,
the protector,
the protector.
Nirvijeta,
Nirvijeta,
becomes detached.
Becomes detached.
Yada,
Yada,
when?
When?
Akhilat,
Akhilat,
from all material things.
From all material things.
Apramata,
Apramata,
without material fever.
Without material fever.
Idam,
Idam,
this.
This.
Pashyet,
Pashyet,
can see,
can see.
Grastam,
seized,
seized.
Kala,
of time,
of time.
Ahina,
Ahina,
by the serpent,
by the serpent.
Jagat,
Jagat,
the universe,
the universe.
I just wanted to turn it up a little bit. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Yeah. Sorry. For the followers of Srila Prabhupada. Yeah. When the living entity sees... That's too high. Go down. When the living entity sees that the entire universe has been seized by the serpent of time, he becomes sober and sane and at the same time detaches himself from all material sense gratification. In that condition, the living entity is qualified to be his own protector. Just go down a little bit. Translation responsible. When the living entity sees that the entire universe has been seized by the serpent of time.
When the living entity sees that the entire universe has been seized by the serpent of time.
He becomes sober and sane at that time.
He becomes sober and sane at that time.
Sorry. He becomes sober and sane, and at that time,
he becomes sober and sane, and at that time,
detaches himself from all material sense gratification.
Detaches himself from all material sense gratification.
In that condition, the living entity is qualified.
In that condition, the living entity is qualified
to be his own protector.
To be his own protector.
Good boy. In this verse, Pingala states that the Lord's mercy. That by the Lord's mercy, a self-realized soul can see that the entire universe is existing within the jaws of the great serpent of time. Certainly, this is not a promising situation, and one who sees it loses his desire for sense gratification. Thus, the Lord's causeless mercy, thus by the Lord's causeless mercy, the spiritually sane living entity can protect himself from illusion. Since Pingala is now glorifying the personality of Godhead for his mercy in awarding salvation, the following question might arise. Is she worshipping the Lord out of love? nor is she merely a salvationist desiring liberation from material existence. In answer, it may be said that in her Krishna conscious situation, she is already liberated, even though remaining in this world. Her program will now be simply to render loving service to the personality of Godhead without any personal desire, including that of salvation. Omagyanti manandasya gyananjana shalakaya chakshurun militam yena tasmai shri gurave namaha shri chaitanya manobhishtam stapitam yena bhutale swayam rupa kadamaya dadati swadantikam vancha kalpatarubhyascha kripa sindubhya evacha pititanam pavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Sri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare So this verse is speaking about the potency of Kala Shakti. Kala Shakti means the time element. Prabhupada mentions in the beginning of the Bhagavad Gita, in the introduction, there are five topics in the Bhagavad Gita. What are the five topics of the Bhagavad Gita? Ishvara. Ishvara means the Supreme Lord.
Jiva.
And Jiva means the living entities. Right. Prakriti. Prakriti means the energies of the Lord. It means the spiritual energy and the material energy. Krishna speaks later in the Bhagavad Gita about apara prakriti and para prakriti, superior energy and inferior energy. Then there is
karma.
Actually, kala is next. Kala means time, and karma. Karma means activities. Material world, everyone performs activities. And those activities, they bring about reaction. But Krishna mentions in the fourth chapter of the Bhagavad Gita that activities can be changed in the sense that the results of the activities can be changed. Because Krishna describes in the Bhagavad Gita that karma can be karma bandhana. Karma bandhana means you can be bound by karma. In other words, you can be bound in this material world by your activities. If you perform material activities, you will be bound in this world by punya or by pap. Either by pious activity or by sinful activity, you will be bound in this world. But Krishna also mentions in the Gita there is nishkarma or akarma. Akarma means there is no reaction for your activity, in the sense that your reaction for your activity will come directly from Krishna himself. It will come directly from the Lord himself. And because it comes directly from the Lord himself, then there is no material reaction. You do not become materially bound. There is not bandhana or bondage from that activity. You don't become bound in this world. You become liberated by those activities. These activities are called akarma or bhakti yoga. By bhakti yoga, you don't become bound in this world. There is no bondage. You become liberated. So this is the fifth. But the fourth subject matter in the Gita is kala. Kala means time. Time is existing in the spiritual world also, but it is spiritual time. Everything in the spiritual world everything in this world is reflected from the spiritual world. Just like we have the great elements in this world: earth, water, fire, air, ether. And then you have the subtle elements, mind, intelligence, ego. They're all there in the spiritual world. But in the spiritual world, they exist in their pure form. You have earth, but the earth is chintamani. It is a spiritual earth. Right? You have water. The water is the Jamuna, or Manasi Ganga, or like that. Water is there, but it's spiritual water. Like that. Fire is there, but it is spiritual fire. Mother Yashoda cooks for Krishna on the fire, like that. But that fire is spiritual, it is not material. And then there is air. Air is air, which cools Krishna. There's cool breezes in Vrindavan, which cool Krishna's body, but that is spiritual air. Ether means space. Space is there, but it is spiritual. The spiritual world is spiritual. There is mind. Mind is there, but the mind is pure. In the material world, because as it is described, the mind has two functions. What are the two functions of the mind? Right, we accept something and we reject something, like that. So in the material world, the acceptance and the rejection are based on material objects. Right, I accept it. I like this. I like to drink ginger beer. I accept it. Like that. I only take one ginger beer. Only one ginger beer is bona fide. Bundaberg. All the others are cheap imitation. So we reject it. So this is material. In the material world, you accept and reject. Right? This is good, this is bad. Right? If it's not Bundaberg, we don't take it. Right? How about Zaparad? To take unqualified or less qualified ginger beers. Not qualified. So therefore, we accept and we reject. But in the spiritual world, the mind is there, but the mind accepts service to Krishna. And it rejects the material creation, like that. There's nothing outside of service to Krishna. There's only acceptance of service. In the spiritual world, there's no option. You know, people don't think, should I serve Krishna today or shouldn't I? You know, we get up in the morning, and sometimes we're not sure if it's the devotee or the demon that we're waking up with. Sometimes we wake up and it's the demon. He's back again. Oh God. We wake up in the morning and I don't want to serve Krishna today. I don't want to do it. I don't want to chant my japa. I don't want to hear. I don't want to even see it. I don't even want to see a devotee. Like that. We become demoniac in our consciousness. Like that. Sometimes we wake up and we're just completely, how would you say it? Like, un-Krishna conscious. Sometimes we wake up and we're just demoniac by nature. We have no desire to serve Krishna whatsoever. But in the spiritual world, there is no demoniac consciousness. There is no flickering of the mind. In the material world, Arjuna describes in the Bhagavad Gita that the mind is known as chanchala. Chanchala means flickering. In the spiritual world, the mind does not flicker. Because the mind is fixed on service to Krishna. When your mind is attracted to something, it does not flicker. Rupa Goswami describes just like when a young boy and a young girl are attracted to each other. When the young boy is attracted to the young girl, he thinks about her all the time. When the young girl is attracted to the young boy, she thinks about him all the time. No one has to say, okay, I want you to think about this person. Right? It is spontaneous. Rupa Goswami says, when will my mind become like that? That I'm thinking about Krishna in that way. Spontaneously. Automatically. Overwhelmingly. Completely. Absorbed in Krishna. This is called rag. Rag means spontaneous attachment. So, in the spiritual world, everyone is a rag atmika devotee. Right? Everyone in the spiritual world, they have rag in their atma. Right? Their soul is full of rag. Rag also means colour. So their soul or their consciousness is completely tainted or tinged in a bluish colour. Everyone in the spiritual world is completely absorbed in their mind in Krishna. So spontaneously the mind goes towards Krishna. So the mind is there in the spiritual world, but it's different to the mind in the material world. In the material world our minds think of everything except Krishna most of the time. But in the spiritual world, always thinking of Krishna. Actually, this is the principal instruction of all the Shastras. Always think of Krishna and never forget Krishna. That is the pure state of consciousness of the living entity. Then, in the spiritual world, we also have intelligence. Buddhi, But that intelligence is used for Krishna. In the material world, as described in chapter 3 by Krishna in the Bhagavad Gita, that Prabhupada mentions in the purport that the capital of lust in the material world is the intelligence. Right? When the intelligence becomes lusty, it is simply absorbed in making plans on how to enjoy sense gratification. And people become very elaborate in their plans. Just like a few years ago in Melbourne, they built the Balti Bridge? Is that what it's called? The Balti?
Yeah.
Balti Bridge, right. So, my God, you know, how much intelligence was required to build that bridge? Right, the bridge like crosses, it just like goes out in the middle of nowhere, just like, you know, this huge bridge just suddenly, and they put two huge things up and then it just goes all the way across. So this is lusty intelligence. Right? Lusty intelligence, because we're our desire for sense gratification is becoming bigger and bigger and bigger and stronger. So now we have to use more intelligence to facilitate it. Right? Now we've created such a mess for ourselves in the city that, you know, the cars are being jammed up in everyone's desire for sense gratification. Right? That now we have to use our intelligence to rectify the situation. So now we build a bridge there, and in Sydney they built a tunnel under the Sydney Harbour. Right? All this lusty intelligence, it just becomes more and more complicated. So people are using their intelligence for sense gratification. One time Srila Prabhupada was in a car somewhere in one of the big cities in the world, and Prabhupada was in a traffic jam. He was sitting in the back seat, and Prabhupada said, "Simply sex life." Yeah, whole traffic jam, simply sex life. All the big buildings in the city, simply sex life. Right? The whole material world, simply sex life. And Prabhupada says that sex life is the active principle in the material world. Right? So the desire is the lusty desire for sense gratification. And Prabhupada explains that the capital of lust is the intelligence. Because when you have lusty intelligence, you make all sorts of arrangements to try and enjoy in this material world. But in the spiritual world, everyone uses their intelligence purely to think how to serve Krishna. They make arrangements to increase the pleasure of Radha and Krishna. Like that. Everything is very elaborate there. Just like if you read the Govinda Lilamrita or the Krishna Bhavanamrita, and you hear about the descriptions of what Krishna has for breakfast, it's very elaborate. You think it's elaborate here. And wait till you get there. It's really elaborate. Very elaborate. It takes a lot of intelligence. But they're using their intelligence to please Krishna, not using their intelligence to enjoy separately from Krishna. So intelligence is there, but you must use it in Krishna's service. And then we have ahankara. Ahankara means false ego. Now, ego means, in the original, in spiritual consciousness or in pure consciousness, ego is jivera svarupahoy krishnera nichadas. Right? That I am eternally the servant of Krishna. That is a pure ego. Ego means identity, who I am. Who am I? Right? I am eternally the servant of Krishna. I am Krishna's servant. That's who I am. Right? But at this point in time, we're thinking, I am?
Enjoy.
Yeah. Ishwaroham ahambogi siddoham balavan suki. This is who I am. I am Ishwara. I am Bogi. I am Siddha. Balaban. Suki. That's demoniac consciousness. Like that. So that's who we think we are now. That's false ego. Krishna says divine and demoniac natures. I am demoniac. Even in our consciousness, we battle with this all the time. In Kali Yuga, the demon and the devotee are in the same body, right? Always battling all day long. Right? I am the bogey. You're not the bogey. You're Krishna's servant. Oh, okay. No, I am the bogey. Like that. No, you're the servant. Like that. It's going on all day in our mind. Right? That's why Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur says in the morning, beat your mind 100 times. You are the servant. You are the servant. You are the servant. Servant, 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 servant. Servant. Okay. Beat your mind. And before you go to bed, you are the servant. You have to beat it. You have to. When you're dealing with the mind, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says in his commentary on the Bhagavad Gita that when you deal with an enemy in Vedic culture, when you deal with an enemy, there are four steps that we use when dealing with an enemy. What are those four steps? Sama. Next.
Dham.
Dhamma. Dhan, isn't it? Dhan. Yeah, Dhan. Sama, Dhan.
Veda.
And? Dondo. Sama means, like, equality. Right? So if you're dealing with an enemy, like in politics, right, then you try to make someone equal with you. Okay, I'll give you some position. We don't have to fight, I'll give you some position. Like that. If you have an enemy, right, if an enemy of the government, in previous times, like a king, if there was an opposing king, instead of going to war with him, because wars cost a lot of money, right, and you might win or lose, right. So, first try to make him equal with you. Okay, you know, you have this, I'll have that. Okay, we'll get along. Okay. If that doesn't work, then dan. Dan means you bribe him. Right? You give him your daughter, or you give him some wealth, or you give him some gift, oh, and then try to win him over. If that doesn't work, then Veda. Veda means? Veda means... I haven't read these four for a while, so I can't remember which the intricacies of them. Like that. But I think Veda means then you try to have some... Or maybe Sama, I think, in the beginning. Sama means that you will try to use some logic and influence. Okay, you're the king over here and I'm the king over here, so let's try to work it out. Right, Dana, then you give some gift. Veda, then you actually give some equality. You may have to divide your kingdom up. Like that. You have this, I'll have that, and then we'll get along. And if it's not working, then the final is Danda. Right? When you're dealing with an enemy, you have to use these four principles. But then the final one is Danda. Right? If it's not working, then just smash them. Right? And just bring them under control. Just like that. So Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says that when you're dealing with the mind, you go straight to Danda. Don't muck around with the mind, because the mind's a rascal. Right, you give him Dan, right, he'll rip you off anyway. Right, you give him Sama, right, it's okay, it's okay. Yeah, and he says, yeah, it's okay, and then... and then Veda, yeah, but I'll give you this much, you know, I'll give you half of the house. Okay, take the rest of it as well. Right, so with the mind, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says, just get the Danda. Danda means... Right, the rod of chastisement. Yamaraj holds a danda. Right, you know, the king holds a danda. It's a rod of chastisement. Hey, you know, you go to India, all the police have their sticks. Hey, that's danda. That's the system. Right, Kshatriyas hold a stick. Hey, even in the West, our guys hold like a stick. They have a baton. They carry it on the waist. They carry it like that. So this is the system. The system is then hit. So when you deal the mind, just hit him. Don't worry about all the mucking around. Just beat him in the morning, beat him in the evening. Hey, rascal. Like that. Just bring him in line. That's the only way to deal with the mind. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says, do not waste your time. Don't think you can play with the mind. It's too powerful. Like that. So, this is the system, and in the spiritual world, that all the things that are in this world, they exist in the spiritual world, but in their pure state. So therefore, Kala, or the Kala Shakti, or the time, is also there in the spiritual world. Right? But in the spiritual world, time is not degenerating, because of the absence of the three modes of material nature. Right? In the material world, we have a beginning for everything. There's nothing eternal in the material world. Everything has a beginning. Why is that? Because of Rajaguna. Because the influence of the mode of passion. Because the mode of passion is here, there must be a beginning for everything. Right? And in the material world, there is an ending for everything. Everything finishes. Right? Why is that? Because of Tamaguna. Because the mode of ignorance is here. No such thing as something going on forever. Like that. And there is some maintenance in this material world. Everything lasts for a certain period of time. Why? Because of sattva-guna. Because of the mode of goodness. Like that. But in the spiritual world, there is only vishuddha-sattva. There is only pure goodness. So everything lasts eternally. So time is there. Time means kala in the spiritual world is there, and there is a sequence of events, but there is no degenerating principle from time. In other words, you don't get older. Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur says birth, which means beginning, death, which means end, old age and disease do not exist in the spiritual. They are conspicuous by their absence. They are not there. Not there. So in the spiritual world, everything just lasts forever. Krishna has Ashta Kaliya Lila, which means every day his daily pastimes are divided into eight divisions. This is called Ashtakaliya Lila. The sun comes up every day in the spiritual world. The sun goes down every day in the spiritual world. Right? The moon rises every day in the spiritual world, and the moon goes down every day in the spiritual world. But there's no degeneration. Right? No one gets older, no one dies, there's no funerals, there's no old age homes, there's no hospitals, there's no sewage. There's no garbage tips, rubbish tips. There's no rubbish. There's no anything negative. Nothing negative is there. And still, you want to stay here in Albert Park. Still, you are attached to Footscray. Still, you are attached to this material world. Patala Loka. Even Indra became a hog. Indra, king of heaven, most powerful deva, and became a hog because he offended Brihaspati, his guru. And then when Lord Brahma came and said, please come back, we need you. He said, no, it is good. Fresh stool every day. Piglets. I have a fat wife. Nice porky wife. And porky kids. I'm happy. What else? Why would I come back? And then Brahma said, but don't you know what happens tomorrow? And then he showed him tomorrow. Tomorrow, the farmer came and cut his throat to eat him. Pork chops. So then he said, no, I'll come back immediately. So even though the spiritual world is so superior, but we're still attached to the apara prakriti. Krishna speaks about this in the Bhagavad Gita, all these things, Ishvara, Jiva, Prakriti, right, Kala, Karma, to try to wake you up. The Bhagavad Gita is spoken at the buddhi, the intelligence. That's why Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita in chapter 2, how many times does he use the term buddhi yoga? I think it's 13 or 14 times. He says buddhi yoga, buddhi yoga, buddhi yoga. Because it's in the intelligence. Krishna's aiming at the intelligence. That's why Prabhupada said that we must read his books every day. Because then your intelligence becomes strong. And then you can see the material world for what it is. Otherwise, you will simply suffer in this material world. As it says here, this is Pingala. Pingala is speaking in this chapter of the Bhagavatam. Krishna is speaking to Uddhava about Pingala. She says, when the living entity sees the entire universe has been seized by the circle of time, he becomes sober and sane at that time and detaches himself from all material sense gratification. That's intelligence. Right? Intelligence means you see that everyone is being devoured by the serpent of time. What does that mean? What does it mean that everyone in this world is being devoured by the serpent of time? It means that everyone is dying. Right? Everyone is dying. Right? Death is around us. Right? You know what this middle planetary system is called? right? Mrityu Loka, right? It means the planetary system of death, right? Because everyone is continuously dying. They live much longer up there in Swarga. And below us in the subterranean heavenly planets, they also live much longer, right? But here it is Mrityu Loka, place of death, right? From the perspective of the devas, right, our lives are just disappearing. Right? They're watching us just. Everyone's just dying, like that. So this is reality. Reality means you must understand this. You must contemplate this. Right? You must understand this point. This is why Krishna speaks the Bhagavad Gita. Right? Hands up if you've read the whole Bhagavad Gita. Very good. Hands up if you understand it. Even though we've read the whole thing, Krishna said, Hare Baba, you're going to die. That's basically what he's saying. The material world is asat, it's temporary. Right? And you are eternal. You are my eternal servant. Surrender unto me. Even though he's saying that, we don't understand. And we are simply in Maya. Maya means illusion. We think we are the material body. We think everyone will die, but not me. What did Yudhisthira say to Yamaraj, who came in the disguise of a yaksha? Yamaraj says, "What is the most amazing thing you have seen, O King of the Earth? What is most amazing?" He said, "The most amazing thing is that although everyone every day is going to the kingdom of Yamaraj, no one thinks it will happen to them." Srila Prabhupada, in his final days in 1977 in Vrindavan, Srila Prabhupada said to his disciples, when Prabhupada was about to leave this world in 77, in the final months when his body was, material body was becoming emaciated, then Srila Prabhupada said to his disciples, "Do not think that this won't happen to you. All of us are going to die. It's just a matter of time." Just like I'm nearly 40 years old. So what does that mean? I'm half dead. Halfway there. Yeah, maybe. Somewhere. But around about the halfway mark. Right. So it is time to get serious. Get serious about your Krishna consciousness. Like that. Because you don't know how long you have as a devotee. We see so many devotees now are getting so many diseases. So many devotees that we know are passing away. We don't know when it will happen to us. So we must understand the influence of time in this material world. It deteriorates. Right? The time factor in this material world means it will devour everything. Therefore, Krishna said, Prabhupada mentioned the Bhagavad Gita, there's five subject matters. One of them is time. You have to understand the influence of time. It destroys everything. What does Krishna say in chapter 11? Kalos me. Arjuna says, "Who are you?" When he sees the universal form, the Virat Rupa, he says, "Who are you?" The universal form says, "Kalos me. I am time. I have come to devour everyone, with the exception of you Pandavas. Everyone else will be dead." This is the nature of the material world. Like that. So Pingala is saying that we should qualify ourselves. In the final line of this verse it says, "In this condition the living entity is qualified to be his own protector." Own protector, it doesn't mean that we're independent. We are never independent. We cannot protect ourselves from anything actually. None of us have the ability or the capacity to defy death. We're not independently able to protect ourselves in that way. But it says here that we become our own protector, meaning that when you have this realization, when you realize that, just give a beam. When you realize that you are immortal, when you realize that you are spiritual by nature, then at that time, realizing your spiritual nature, then you become your own protector because you become detached from the material energy. When you realize you are the soul as opposed to the body. For one who understands his spiritual nature, aham brahmasmi, that I am spirit, then he becomes his own protector in the sense that he does not become allured by Maya anymore. But it doesn't mean that the jiva is independent. We are not independent. We are fully dependent upon Krishna. That is the definition of bhakti. That in the Hari Bhakti Vilas, Sanatana Goswami has written that Sharanagati, which Bhaktivinoda Thakur has taken in his writings, where he discusses Sharanagati. Sharana, or Sharanagati, means surrender to Krishna. Now, surrender has six elements. Right? To reject everything which is unfavorable for our devotional service, and to accept everything which is favorable for our devotional service. This is the beginning of surrender. Right? Surrender means that I do not want to do certain things. But if I want to advance in Krishna consciousness, I must accept them. Just like when we first come to Krishna consciousness, we may not enjoy getting up at 4 o'clock in the morning. Right? It's not exactly fun when you first come like that. Now it's fun. We like it. We like getting up early, but in the beginning, we may not find that enjoyable, but you must accept it if you want to advance in Krishna consciousness. You must rise early. You must make this your habit. If you want to advance as a devotee, you must rise early in the morning. Right? And absorb yourself in spiritual sound vibration. Right? It is necessary. So therefore, you may not enjoy it initially, but it is necessary. So therefore, you accept something which is maybe otherwise unfavorable, but it becomes favorable. So accept those things which are favorable and reject those things which are unfavorable. Right? The principal thing that we must reject, which is unfavorable to our Krishna consciousness, Rupa Goswami says there are six things which are unfavorable to our Krishna consciousness. Achahara, Priyashascha, there are six things, but of all the things, it is Jana Sangha. Or it is a satsanga, tiag, e vaishnava acha. Right? It is the behavior of a vaishnava to reject materialistic association. That is the main necessity of devotees. No? The main necessity for you to advance, the main thing you have to give up is association of materialists. Just like on Sunday, we went to the Inner Peace Festival down at Geelong, and we did a little bit of preaching there, and then we had about 30 people. We did like a little discourse, a little seminar. So we had about 30 people there, and the speakers were going out into the main hall where there may have been 100 people or maybe some more people there. So we were saying in the seminar that the reason why everyone is disturbed these days is because the mind is so disturbed. And the reason the mind is so disturbed is because of all the bombardment of materialistic association that we're getting. So then I said to the people that it is very good if we give away our television. So this is like revolutionary. Right? This is like a revolution in consciousness. My God, you can live without a TV. Is it possible? Life without television? What do you do? Yeah, what is that? What is their view on television? You know, the average person watches something like 2 hours to 4 hours a day of television. When I was a kid, I used to watch 4 hours every day. This is what people do. Everyone watches television like that. But if you want to advance in Krishna consciousness, you must reject those things which are unfavorable. And the principal thing you must reject is asatsanga. So you have to give up association of materialists. You have to minimize your reading of newspapers, listening to radios, listening to watching the television. It's simply a waste of
time.
And Prabhupada says, do not waste time like that. So therefore, we have to reject it. It is said, Sharanagati means accepting things which are favorable, which we may not like to accept, and rejecting things which are unfavorable, which we may not like to reject. Right? And then understanding that Krishna is our protector, and our maintainer. This is surrender. This is Sharanagati. Right? Surrendering to Krishna. We're not independent. Right? We think we're independent. We think, yeah, I can do whatever I want, and you know, I'm so, you know, independent. Everyone in the material world. Just like you go to the airports. You know, when you go to the airport, everyone's getting on planes to go somewhere in the world. Everyone thinks they're independent. You know, and they all go to what are the shops called at the airports? Duty free. Duty free. I can buy the, you know, nice watch. You know, so I buy my nice watch and I put on my nice earrings, right? And then I put on my nice makeup and my nice perfume and I walk through the airport, you know, because I'm independent. I can do what I want. I can go where I want. I'm independent. Like that. So that's what everyone thinks of the material world. I am independent. But you're not independent, right? How do you know that plane's not going to crash? How do you know it's not going to be taken over by terrorists? How do you know when you get to the city that you're supposed to land in? How do you know that city's going to be there? How do you know it's not going to be an anarchy? Just like it was at Bangkok recently. Huh? Bangkok, they virtually had civil disobedience. Was it Bangkok recently? It's one of the countries in Asia. I can't remember. I think it was Bangkok. Which one?
In Thailand.
Thailand. It's Bangkok's the capital, right? So yeah, I think it was Bangkok. So they had civil disobedience. You know, 40,000 people just said, we're not going to agree with the government. They all put on red t-shirts and they just caused chaos all through the city. It came down to the point where the military either had to like start killing everyone to bring peace, or, you know, they somehow had some negotiations and tried to calm the whole thing down. It's going very... So how do you know when you fly and you land in that city it's not going to be like that? Is the material world what is certain? So we think we are independent, but what is our independence? Right? We have minute independence, like that. So independent or dependence, or this symptom of Sharanagati, or surrender to Krishna, means that you understand Krishna is my maintainer, Krishna is my
protector.
That is surrender. Surrender means Krishna will protect me. Right? Okay, sometimes we find ourselves in a dangerous situation, but what does the devotee think? Krishna will protect us. Just like Radhanath Swami was telling us that he was on a plane and the plane hit heavy turbulence. Like, you know, sometimes you're in a plane that really, it's scary. And you see all the, what happens to all the people in the plane. Right? Everyone starts screaming, right, and throwing up, right? And their drinks are going up on the roof and it's like the whole thing's just, you know, everyone's like, ah! Right? And then people start, you know, praying to God. Some people, everyone's going, oh, and some people just screaming and crying, and people become hysterical. And Mara said that he was chanting the best japa he's ever chanted in his life. Because he said normally when you're on a plane, you're kind of spaced out, you know, because you're jet lagged and you're like, well, and you're like, you know, generally our rounds on a plane are not very good. Murray said he was really chanting, you know, because the plane was... This is what a devotee does. When a devotee is in difficulty, in danger, what do? We surrender to Krishna. Krishna is our protector. And just like my brother, Christian, who is also a devotee, he told me one time, he was also on a plane and he hit turbulence. And this was before he became more serious as a devotee. He was flying over to Germany to be an exchange student, and he said, I just became a devotee. And he was like interested, but not so interested at that point. And then he was flying 36,000 feet in the air across the ocean to Germany. And then the plane hit very heavy turbulence and everyone was freaking out. And I said to him, what did you do? And he said, what else do you do when you're 36,000 feet in the air in the plane? He says, you chant Hare Krishna. And what else do you do? This is what a devotee does. Right? When we're in danger, what do? Krishna is my protector. What do the cowherd boys say in the Srimad Bhagavatam when a demon comes? You know, these big demons come in the Bhagavatam, we hear in the Krishna book, big demons come. Imagine if you walk out in the courtyard now and you look up and from the ground to the clouds there's this big crane. a big bird going. That's what Bakasura was like. He was up to the clouds. Right? And what do all the cowherd boys say? Krishna, Krishna, Mahabaho. Mahabaho, you have mighty arms. Krishna, Krishna, mighty arm Krishna. Protect us. No one was even scared. When they saw that demon, what was that demon's name? Agasura. Agasura, imagine you walk out and there's a snake whose mouth goes up to the clouds. Right? And what do the cowherd boys say? Let's just go and see what happens. Because if anything happens, Krishna will look after us. So they all ran in. Right? And then what did Krishna think? Krishna was under Yogamaya for a moment. So for a moment he started crying. He thought, oh my God, my friends are running into the mouth of that snake. What's going to happen to them? Because Yogamaya was covering him for a minute. And then Yogamaya lifted. And then he thought, anyway, I'm God. So so then he went in and he killed Agasura. That is Krishna's potency. So devotee, we never think we're entirely independent. We always think Krishna is my protector, he's my maintainer. This is Sharanagati. Sharanagati means reject things which are unfavorable, accept things which are favorable. Right? Krishna is my maintainer, he is my protector. And then to think, to have genuine humility, to be humble, right? And to be a soul who is surrendered to Krishna. That is Sharanagati. So a devotee becomes like this in the material world. We do not think that we are independent of Krishna. And if we develop this spiritual knowledge, then we can protect ourselves from the influence of Maya. And then for the time factor, the devotee has no reason to fear the time factor. Just like Srila Prabhupada says, for a devotee there is no death. There is no death. Devotees do not die. We simply, what do we do? What do? We change our body. First thing Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, what happens when you die? You put on different clothes. What happens when you get up in the morning? You put on new clothes. What happens when you die? Just get a new body. That's what it's like for a devotee. No fear. Maybe the next body will be spiritual body. If you chant seriously. If you're a good devotee. If you surrender to your guru and to Krishna, then maybe your next body will be spiritual. That's up to Krishna. So we'll stop here unless there's any questions or comments on what we discussed.
From the story of Pingala, even though she was in a very honorable profession, how is it possible that she gets sent freelance so suddenly? Is it because of the pious spiritual credits what she has, or is there any reason?
Sometimes even devotees may even, just by dint of circumstance in their life, they may take, they might find themselves in material positions which are not so savoury. There are examples in our history of devotees who have to become prostitutes, or that not maybe have to, but somehow they find themselves in that circumstance, or maybe they're in that profession and then they become devotees. But still, because of circumstances, they can't really escape from their profession. So like there was one story which is told, there was a prostitute living next to the Brahmana. Right? But the prostitute, even though so many men were coming to her, but her in her heart she's thinking, Krishna, I don't want to do like this. You know, I don't have any other profession, I can't live, but in my heart I just want to be your devotee. And the Brahmana was next door, and he was thinking, I'm a Brahmana, I'm so pure. She is so impure. And every time a man came to see her, he put one rock outside her, in her front yard. Right? And then every time he'd come, that was his whole mentality. Oh, she was so impure. And there was a big pile of rocks. So he was just looking for the fault. But he did not understand the consciousness of that person. That person was a pure devotee of Krishna. So at the end of their lives, right, he took birth again in this material world. And she became liberated. And that's sometimes it happens that the devotee is in that circumstance. Does that answer what you're...
Without any pious spiritual prayers, does she all of a sudden, because of the situation, she turned to...
Pingala?
Yes.
I'm not sure. Does anyone know about Pingala? She met Maitreya.
Yes, Krishna.
Okay. If you read the commentaries of Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur on the 11th canto, then it may be answered, like what her position is. Krishna is speaking about her to Uddhava. I don't know the details of who she is.
She got a message that
Dattatreya. Okay. And then she became a devotee. Oh, just like Haridas Thakur, then one of the Muslim rulers, he sent one prostitute to try to allure Haridas Thakur away from his chanting. But then Haridas Thakur converted her into a devotee, and then he left and left her there, and then she became a great sadhu. And she became a guru with so many other personalities. So by the association of some great soul, then even the most fallen people can become exalted. Is that...
Yeah.
Any other question, comment? We'd have to read the commentary of the of maybe Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur or someone. I don't know any details about Pingala, really. What is mentioned there. But these personalities, they live for many yugas. Just like it's explained that Srila Vyasadeva is still living in Bhadrik Ashram in the Himalayas. If you go to Bhadrik Ashram in the Himalayas, that place called Badrinath, that place, Vyasadeva is still living there even now. But we cannot see him. So these great personalities are still existing in different places like that. Just like Madhvacharya, about 800 years ago, I think it was, Madhvacharya went to Bhadrik Ashram. But because he was pure, he actually saw Vyasadeva and he learned the Srimad Bhagavatam from Vyasadeva. And that's how the Madhva Sampradaya has begun like that. Because we're in the Brahma, Madhva, Gaudiya Sampradaya. So we are following Madhvacharya in that lineage. Because Madhvacharya went to the Himalayas and actually met Vyasadeva. And these personalities are still existing in different places. Any other question or comment? Okay. Srila Prabhupada, key.